Hi, I'm Christy Smith, and I had the privilege to go on the mission trip to Brazil. I've been to Nicaragua, but it had been 8 years ago, and it was just a pleasure to go with our team and just to see the people of Brazil. My daughter, Melissa, went with me on my first trip to Nicaragua, and she's fell in love with the people, and she's already been there this past year for about a month, and she's probably definitely going to go to the mission field. So as a parent, you're like, okay, God, I give this child to you, but that's a really long, far away to go. And so going on this trip was kind of definitely what the Lord wanted, because now I'm definitely at peace with that, because I've seen the love from the missionaries and the love for the people. And just being there myself, and the one thing that people are going to talk about today is just that we got to do an English class with the Brazilian people, so we got to make friendships, we got to make a personal impact on their lives and then on our lives. Those of you that know me know I work in a school as second grade teacher, and so children are one of my loves, and so when Pastor David Carroll was asking who wanted to do what in the for the English ministry, first I signed up for the adults, and he said, well, who wants the children? And I was like, sure, I'll take them. So that was really exciting for me. We got to go into a classroom, and we spoke Portuguese, and then we spoke English, and they were kind of surprised that we were scared to speak Portuguese to them. They were like, really? I said, the professor is like, I'm scared and nervous. And they were just kind of looked like, really? And so, but so that was exciting. We had 3 nights of that. And the last night, I got to share the gospel with them. And that was really exciting to me. And Jessica helped us as well. So it was fun that we got to work together and work with the children. Just pray for the people that were in the English classes, because they, a lot of them didn't come to, some of them didn't come to the church, and the two children that I spoke with were from a Catholic background. So I just pray that the message through the gospel will speak to them. And it seemed like when we went out and finished the English program that their mom was excited about the English. So I just pray that those people, through that ministry, the people will come to the church. Another favorite part of my, one part of what was favorite was singing, just like we did just now. But last Sunday when we were singing the same song in two languages and just seeing it through their people's faces and our team's faces and just seeing, could just feel the presence of God in the room. And I just know that God was pleased through that, and it was just a blessing. Again, just please pray for the people of the Cornelia Baptist Church, and they're also starting a new church in Tupanatinga. And they were excited, the people from the church were excited to start the new church. So just pray that that continues and that souls will be saved. We also got to go to schools and spread and teach the gospel in the schools. So just, we don't know, a lot of times there were some kids that were moving around, and we don't know what was actually impacting them. But thank you for your support and your prayers. And we're all probably going to say this, but if you get an opportunity to go, God will give you the funds, and he'll give you the energy and just the... he's shaking his head. Yes, we were like, we got there, and it was like that. No, we got there. What? By the time we got there, it was like lunchtime, and he's like, no, you're going to go to the hotel, and then you're going to go eat, and then we're going to start the English ministry that night. So we didn't even get to bed the first night, probably till 11, 12 o'clock, and then the next morning it was the same thing. So we had a great time, and thankfully all of us stayed well. So it was just a wonderful time to see. Get to grow our friendships here that we have in our church, and just get to spread God's word through the Brazilian people. And they definitely are just loving and friendly. And they weren't nervous for us, and it made us not very nervous to work with them. So I'm just so happy to have gotten to go on this trip, and hope to go on many others.
All right, good morning. Well, this was a big trip for us. We had 19 people, which is a large group, especially when the guys are outnumbered. So, except for an incident involving a cheeseburger, everybody got along, and just like a well-oiled machine, all week we operated with nothing other than that. Everybody fell into their role, their part, and as the week went by, it just kept building and building and building until the service on Friday in a new city for a new church, and then the service on Sunday. It just reminds me of in the Bible, talks about the body of Christ and how each person is one part of one large body, and it only functions when all the parts work together. So I was really impressed to see that. The other thing is seeing those that it's their first time on a trip and how they got over any fear, any hesitation on going, and when they got there, they just hit the ground running. They fell right into it. They took their role. They took their calling, and it was a job well done. We don't know how many people were saved, but we know some were, and that's what it's all about. So please pray for those that were saved there and for all of those that heard the gospel and had a seed planted. And like Christy said, go on a missions trip. It will change your life. Thanks.
Our mission trip to Brazil was my first mission trip, and it was such an amazing experience. At first, I was extremely nervous because I had never been out of the country, and we didn't speak the same language as them. But once we got there and had our first English class that night, I was amazed at how many Brazilians already knew a lot of English. Over the next few days, I began to talk to the teens and grew some pretty amazing friendships with some of them. It was amazing how incredible the people are and how kind and welcoming they are. The Sunday before we left was incredible. Hearing us singing in English and them singing in Portuguese at the same time was an incredible thing to see. The next night when we left, it was very emotional for us as we had to say goodbye to the friends we made. We still keep in touch, but I cannot wait to see all of them again one day.
Oi, that means hello in Portuguese. It's definitely a lot easier to talk to people when they can't understand you. So my name is Laura, and if anyone knows me, you know that I do not like to be hugged at all. I'm like a human cactus, like stay back. So I only really accept hugs from my family. But let me just tell you, Brazilian people are huggers. They are with like no qualms, just walk up and hug you. So my idea of God's family before this trip was basically my immediate family, my church family. It was more of just my little bubble of what I consider to be God's family. And one night we were there, and there were groups singing, and at the very end we were singing the songs, and we were singing in English. The Portuguese people were singing in Portuguese, or the Brazilian people were singing in Portuguese. And although there were two different languages, it sounded like one. And it was by far the most beautiful sound I've ever heard. It just blended beautifully. And I realized at that moment that that is the sound of God's family. And so now I understand the extent of God's family. It's not just us here. It's all around the world. And so by the end of our trip, I was initiating hugs, which is just unheard of, because these people felt like family to me. And so what has stayed with me is just the desire to see that expansion of God's family, not just overseas, but here. So I encourage you, if you are even thinking about it, even if you're not thinking about it, go. God will use you. He will never send you somewhere and not equip you. And if you get the chance, please room with Kim Miller. Just do it. Thank you.
I'm Wanda Kelly, and I was a probationary mission trip person. I was way out of my comfort zone, flying in the plane, being at the airport, but they all reeled me back in and kept me where I needed to be. Last Sunday afternoon, we did a ladies' event at the church at Koinonia, and we started by sitting in a circle, praying, and singing a song together, and then Christine and I gave our testimonies with Sarah translating, and I was so nervous because I don't like to talk in front of people. But when I was done and I stopped and looked around the room, it was as if we were in a room full of dear old friends that we'd known forever. And I realized that a mother's love and motherhood is universal. And immediately I realized, just like God's redeeming grace, you know, he takes you where he wants you and he uses you how he wants you to be used. And he wants your story to speak for him. And then we did stations, or like little breakouts with the ladies. We did fashion, treat making, finance, and we taught them CPR. Kim and Jessica taught them CPR, and with some hands-on, and they loved it. We had little gifts or door prizes to give them, and they loved that. And we just got a chance to love on them and share our stories, and it was a great time of fellowship. And I would say, if I can go on a mission trip, anybody can. And it's an opportunity of a lifetime. And you're never the same after you've done it.
All right, let's give them all another hand as they walk down. Thank you so much, Wanda and team. We'll hear from the rest of them here momentarily. But we're so excited about what the Lord is doing. He's continuing to do through their ministry there. And so thank you all for your prayers and for your support. And right now we're going to take just a few minutes. We're going to take our offering and go to the Lord in prayer and watch video number 2 from the trip. So you'll be able to take that in. But we look forward to that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we're just so grateful, again, to have our church family back together. And Lord, I know there are still some not here with us, but Lord, I do pray that you would just continue to allow them to acclimate themselves back to being home and get back in the groove of things. But we're so glad that everything was a success. And Lord, really, we don't even know the success story. Only heaven knows the true impact they've had. But Lord, we're so grateful that we can be a part of that as a church family. Lord, we don't want to hesitate to think of the Jacobson family this morning. And Lord, we pray for them as in their loss, and you would continue to encourage them, lift them up. And God, just give them strength for the days ahead. And we just thank you for the beautiful service for Amari yesterday and how it touched so many lives. We're thankful that some people indicated that they received Christ as their Savior, Lord. And because of all those events, Lord, some people found Jesus. Thank you for that truth and for that testimony, that blessing in the midst of so many unfortunate news, Lord. Bless this offering, Lord. I pray that it would glorify you today and use it for your glory. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things to be done in this city. the God of this city. You're the King of this people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless.
Good morning. My name is Kelly, if you don't know me. This has been a great trip. It's really difficult when they tell me to come back and talk about something on the trip. There's so many amazing things that happen on every trip. This was a terrific trip with a fantastic team. Everybody got along well, as you've already heard. And we did some fantastic things during the week working with the Brazilians. But they tell me I have a limited amount of time, so I have to pick something to talk about. And I want to tell you about the schools that we went in. We did 6 different schools while we were there. We went in and we did praise and worship with the students, and we presented the gospel to them, and we gave them an opportunity to come up and kind of break the ice. We played games with them, and we somebody from our team gave a testimony at each one. And the schools, most of the schools, came to a gymnasium that we met in. And it was a large gymnasium, and there was 150 to 200 students at each one. And it was loud. These students came in. It's not like here, where everybody's sitting so quietly and listening, or at least pretending to listen. But it was loud. It was children talking and people moving around, and it was almost difficult to even hear yourself, even though we had microphones. And at points, I have video of people giving their testimony, and you can't hardly hear them, even though I'm sitting, you know, from me to the front row, from the person giving their testimony, and they're speaking on a microphone. And at first, that was a little discouraging. Because you're thinking, why are we here? What are we doing? Nobody's even listening to us. But when you went around to the other side of the person who was talking and you looked back at the crowd, and we have pictures, there was like a huge amount of people that really were not paying attention. They were talking, they were playing. These were high school and middle school students. But there was one section right in the middle of this group of people that were very intently listening. They were paying attention to everything that was being said, and you could see it on their face. And I thought, wow, God has called some people here today specifically. We never know what their hearts are, but God does. And he calls the people there, and he tells them that they're to listen. He calls them to listen, He gives us the words to speak to those people. And I step back as I come home and I think, how does that affect me? Why does this seem so important to me? And it's because in my world here, it's very busy. Everything's loud. It's noisy. I have phones, TVs, and work, and people, you know, things are going on. And everything's very chaotic in life. And I need to be able to hear God's voice in the midst of all that chaos. Just like those people in the midst of all the chaos could hear the words that we were given when we were presenting the gospel. Seeds were being planted. And it's very important for me to remember that I need to take the time, even with all the noise, to hear God's voice. Because it's very clear. It doesn't have to be loud. It's there for us, whether we're here, whether we're in a foreign country where it's a lot easier to hear God. But it's important to me and my journey. And I just hope that each of you can slow down and realize, even if your life is busy, to take time to listen to God's voice and hear what He's calling you to do in your life. Thank you.
Hi, so those that don't know me, my name's Chris. And if you look around, you'll notice my wife and my daughter aren't here today. That's because they're giving me a microphone. I was told to say they had an appointment otherwise this afternoon. But I want to put it in scale. Tupanatinga, it's about the size of Fuquay, right? If we were to look at population, right, it's about the size of Fuquay Varina. With San Francisco's hills. Probably a good way to put it, because we trek that every day at lunch. There's two things I want to touch on. One, in Koinonia, when we had the teen event, we were playing My Favorite Is, the game that Steve was putting on for the teen event. And what's your favorite kind of music? And I kind of ran off by myself. There's a few select people here at the church that know honestly, my favorite kind of music is reggae. Love reggae music. And this one little boy, when they heard me say my favorite's reggae, came running over to me and just, I mean, he's this tall. He's, Bob Marley? And I, yeah. And we started talking. One of the bands I know from here in the U.S. that I go and see on tour every time, and I know every one of the members, fill stadiums in Brazil. And was able to share some pictures of me with the lead singer of that group. And he was, of course, I mean, he was amazed. But that started a spark of a connection between that young man and I. And through that Saturday afternoon until Sunday night when he came back. Now, this young boy spoke no English. He was 11 years old. His name was Miguel. He and his brother came back Sunday night for service. Nick and I actually sat down and played some reggae music, some Bob Marley and some other stuff with him, and he sang along with us. And when we went to leave Sunday night, this little boy, and I forgot it, of course, it's sitting at home on my desk. This little boy digs into his pocket, and he pulls out this little Matchbox Jeep, and he hands it to me. He said, through his brother, he told me, I didn't want you to leave without a little piece of me to remember me by. And he started crying. I don't know Miguel's backstory. I don't know if he has a father at home. I don't know his family situation. But I know there's a connection between Miguel and I. And I know at that point, I was able, through 2 days of talking back and forth with him, we built this bond that he will remember and I will remember forever. And I will stay in touch with him through David Carroll. I took him immediately to David Carroll and said, my prayer for you is that you come to know Jesus Christ, which is the primary reason I'm here, is to spread that word. And David and he and I talked. He has said he's going to come back, and by the next time I come back to Brazil, because I'm already starting to plan another trip, is that he will be able to speak English, and then Miguel and I can sit and have a conversation. So that's the first. I'm not going to go any deeper in that because I will become a bawling mess. The second is that what amazed me is Kelly mentioned the schools. You know, some of the conditions that we witnessed while we were there, you would think were just abhorrent. I mean, they were terrible. It only took walking in a bathroom. It tore David Fry's stomach up, I think. That was actually a fun part of the trip. But the curiosity, you know, I mentioned the hills in Tapatatinga. The curiosity, the desire to hear what this team took to Brazil and had to say, even with all the distractions with the schools. When we were playing out in the middle of Tapatatinga on a Friday night with bars and rent-by-the-hour hotels around us, and people were stopping what they were doing to come out and listen to the music and the preaching. My question that was laid on my heart is, how can we do that here? How do we do that here as a congregation, as God's family here? How do we reach the schools of Garner? As David preaches every Sunday, how do we reach Wake County in that way to build the curiosity that we're living every day in a way that people go, I'm curious as to what they're doing. What is so good? Why do they have it so good? If we can build that here, you could each experience, all of us could experience a little piece of what we got to experience in Brazil. So, as everybody said and everybody will say, if you ever have the chance to go, it will be provided. The way will be provided. I saw, and I'll end with this. My 15-year-old daughter is very reserved with her feelings, and she's going to kill me when she finds out I talked about this up here. But I think it's a very important piece for me as a father. This is something really selfish I took back. I'd never seen my daughter cry in a way that wasn't, y'all know what emotional crying is, right? I mean, there's crying, tears, but this was emotional crying when she built relationships in Brazil over 10 days that put her in a state that a piece of her heart was left there. That moved me as a father, something I had never seen. So it will change you young and old. It will change you male, female. I don't care if you've been saved 35, 40 years. I don't care if you've been saved 6 months. A mission trip will change your life. And the 19 people that went here, there was no bickering, there was laughter, there was hugging, there was all kinds of stuff. But the one thing that exuded from this whole team the whole time we were there was love for everybody around us and for everybody on the team. So thank you for letting me take a little extra time. I appreciate it.
All right, I just want to kind of follow up on what Chris said, that no matter who you are, you can go on a missions trip. No matter what state of life you're in right now, you can go. I have 4 kids at home. I wasn't ecstatic about leaving them. And my mom wasn't comforted that she could take care of them. But God told me to go, and I went. And I can't wait to get to go back again somewhere else. I can't wait for my husband to get to experience that and to take my kids with me. While I was there, one of the first things I did was text my husband and say, Chase has to go. My 14-year-old has to go. Like all these other 14-year-olds or teenagers that were with us, just the transformation I saw in them from the beginning of the week to the end of the week was a miracle. Like, I don't even know how to say it. But even no matter what your personality is, there's a job for you there. We had musicians there. We had teachers there working with kids and just women. Just because you're a woman, you can connect to someone else there. And I hate talking in front of people. I'm shaky. I can't do it right now. But I was able to stand up in front of a coliseum full of children or high schoolers, so pretty much adults, and speak in front of them and give my testimony in front of them. I had never given my testimony in front of a big group of people before. I spoke maybe in front of 1 or 2 people in my discipleship group, and that was nerve-wracking enough for me. But after we did our first testimony in front of the big group of kids, we went to another school, and we hadn't planned to go to that school, and David's like, hey, can you do it again? Sure, I guess I'll do it again. But I was able to do that again, and just like they said, the love of the people there, I wish that we could see that here in America. Everywhere that we went, every school, every event, we had so many hugs, and they just act like they were our friends and that they had known us for a lifetime. And if somehow we could bring that back here and show that love to the people here, I think that would make a huge difference.
Good morning. I am incredibly glad to be back in a place that I don't talk funny. And if you think I do, then you're not from here anyway, so, you know, really doesn't matter. This is the fifth trip outside of the U.S. I've had the opportunity to go on. First one I went on was about 4 years ago to New York, which that's kind of another country anyway. You go the wrong way up 95. Some of you figured that out because you came this way and stayed, so, you know, that's the wrong way. But I'll tell you this, I was hooked from that point on a mission trip. Why should you go on a missions trip? Well, there's a lot of reasons. First of all, we're commanded to do so in Matthew, and it says go into all the world and preach the gospel. First of all, you're commanded to. But second of all, there's a few things that happen on a mission field that's not going to happen sitting in your seat right here at Calvary Raleigh. And some of you have assigned seats, we know. One thing that's not going to happen is you're not going to get to see just how universal this God is that we serve. We didn't get to see Big Jesus, because he's in Rio and we didn't go to Rio. But we did get to see Jesus in a big way. And I'll take Jesus in a big way rather than going to see Big Jesus. One day we're going to see him, though, I feel like. As some of them have said, we were standing and we were singing in different languages, and I'm not sure some of what I was singing in was English or Portuguese, but, you know, it was a joyful noise to God anyway. My team got away from me. They didn't like it so much. But anyway, we have one God, and it's amazing. Sometimes we forget how big he is when we're in our little bitty world and our little bitty issue that we have that's like, oh, it's just all-encompassing. Here's my big issue. God can't handle this and something else. Well, yes, he can, because he's handling those same issues that are way bigger than ours and people around the world. And you will never get to experience God in a way that you will in a mission field sitting here at Calvary in your seat. The sunset we got to see, the day, our fun day, that we got to do some physical fitness and climbing up some rocks, 58 flight of stairs, it said, by the way, and watch the sunset with no distractions, because we didn't have Wi-Fi up there anyway. Maybe the locals did, but it didn't work for us. We had nothing else to do but focus on God's creation, and there's just no words for that. Second thing, one of the biggest focuses on this trip, one of the biggest themes was relationships. And yes, we were to go to Brazil and build relationships, and we did, and there was tears shed when we left. But I'll tell you this, I came home with 18 closer friends than I left with. How many of us have all the friends you need, you don't need no more in your life? Good, nobody lied in church. We all need more friends. And there's now 18 people, some of who I knew pretty well, but now there's 18 I know really well. Fairly well. There's some that were knocking on my wall in the middle of the night. I don't know why people next door would do that, but they did. And now she doesn't have the microphone to say anything different. So relationships, guys. There's relationships that you cannot build here in this church. One of our team members, unfortunately, as I sat on the plane getting ready to leave the country and I looked across the aisle, I said, do you speak English? Are you on our team? Turns out it was Kylie, so... you know, that was my bad. I didn't know everybody there, but now I do. So you can't build those relationships sitting here. You can't. So why should you go on a missions trip? Well, you've heard numerous reasons right here. You're commanded. You will never get a sense of how awesome God is sitting here in your seat. And the third reason is relationships.
First of all, I'd like to thank Calvary Raleigh for sending us and for giving us this opportunity to go. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your financial support, for your moral support. Many people on this trip left loved ones at home, children, and that's not easy to do. But with the grace of God, it was definitely worthwhile for all of those that went. This is my fifth missions trip. Kim and I are traveling buddies. We've been on most of those trips together. And just like she said, you go on one and you get hooked. Because, as she said, you cannot have the same experience here at home. It's just a totally different feel and a totally different bond that you have with Christ when you get out of your comfort zone. The thing I'm going to share today is about the team as a whole. When we were taking our training and doing our training sessions, I'll be honest with you, many of us didn't even make it to all of them. Matter of fact, I don't think we ever all met together until we got stuck on a plane traveling 16 hours across the world. So we kind of did our training session in our travels. As we're on the plane, as we're on the four-hour bus ride, we were putting things together. If you are OCD, this is going to be difficult for you because you get a schedule, you get an itinerary, and it never works out. So you have to be flexible. So you can say, well, on day one, we're doing this. Day two, we're doing this. Well, you can look at it, and then you can toss it out the window because we go on what God's plan is and what His will is, and we just follow, and we're just there as tools. The great thing about this team, first of all, this is the biggest missions team that I think Calvary has taken, at least that I've been on. I'm not sure about the one with the teens in Nicaragua, but this is the biggest one I've been on, and I did not know a number of the members on the team. As a matter of fact, the week before, I had to text Pastor David and said, can you give me a list of names that I can pray for? Because I really don't know who's on this team. And with that, it allowed me to get to know and get to know my church members, my family here at Calvary a whole lot better. We've been able to build relationships and really get to pray for each other and get to know about each other and each other's families. During the travel, there's so much time for you to talk and learn and pray and cry and experience each other's burdens, each other's concerns, and the blessings that were made available to us. The great thing about this team is God picked this team specifically so that we could fill in the gaps that were needed. Some of the team are musically inclined, and we needed that because some of us are just background singers. We had teachers. We had people that have the gift of hospitality. So as the days went on and as the work goes on, it's awesome to see how those with different abilities, different skills, kind of plug the holes and fill the gaps and make everything run so smoothly. And with that, when you go as a group or as a large group like this, it allows you to sometimes take a step back and just observe what's going on in front of you and just an awe, an awesome wonder of how God is using everybody and their gifts and their talents. And so if that's something that, you know, you have a gift in one area or another, and you say, well, that might not be me. I've been on medical missions trips before, and I'm far from being a doctor and really just there to, you just tell me what to do, and I'll do it, Lord. So if you find yourself and you can step back and just ask God to use you how He would use you, He will find that spot. He will find that place for you. One of my highlights, and this is something that I've learned over time. So I'm a PE teacher, and soccer is a universal sport, okay, worldwide. That will draw and that will attract kids. So every opportunity I get, I try to bring out a soccer ball. And I present that soccer ball to a school, to a church. And as soon as I pull out that soccer ball, these kids just come flooding in. And next thing you know, I'm surrounded by, you know, 50, 75, 100 kids. And then I got to get rid of the soccer ball before they all tackle me and jump on me for it. But when you start kicking the ball around with them and start passing to them, it's amazing how the trust comes, and then you start building that relationship, and then the kids know that you are there, okay, not because you're better than them, not that you're, you know, that you're higher than them. It's because you're there to love on them. And so when I bring that soccer ball out, the kids start playing, and next thing you know it, they're wanting your photo. They're wanting your autograph. They're wanting your Instagram. They're wanting your face. They want to have a connection. They want to have a relationship with you. And so just those little things can just help make that connection, as Chris was talking about. You make that connection, and then they're right there, and they want to continue that relationship with you because they feel the love of Christ. One funny story I'm going to tell real quick. And I can tell this because Tana is not here, so this is my opportunity. So one of the general things on a missions trip is you never go off by yourself. You stay in a group, okay? So it's just for safety reasons. So everyone was talking. Noah was getting all his pictures with all his girls that were, you know, wanting his autograph, and they thought he was a rock star, superstar. And so everyone's off doing their thing. And being a teacher, I always want to see the schools. I want to see what it's like so I can compare it to the United States. It's like a cultural exchange. So being a PE teacher, the first thing I wanted to see was their gymnasium facilities. I wanted to see, you know, what their play area looks like. So I tell David, Pastor David, I said, okay, I'm going to go just check out the school. I'll be back. Well, David was my roommate, so his job is to keep track of me and make sure that I make it on the bus. So as I'm walking off, I see his daughter, Savannah, just sitting there by herself, and she has an interest in being a teacher and PE teacher, and so I said, Savannah, why don't you come with me? We'll go together. That way we're buddied up, and we'll go check out the facility. So we go and check out the facility, and it's an outdoor, basically it's an outdoor basketball court with a fence around it. And so we're there, we're talking. Well, the bus starts pulling off, and her and I are over here, and all of a sudden, we see a bunch of the guys from the bus come running off the bus, and they're in a panic. And Savannah and I come out from the gymnasium, and we, you know, like, nothing's wrong. And the look on Pastor David's face, I mean, he almost dropped of a heart attack right there. And just so scared, and he's like, where were you, where were you? And I was like, she's okay, we're together. But the funny thing is, him being my roommate, he's supposed to keep track of me, and then Savannah's roommate didn't keep track of her, so we gave a little bit of a scare. But the thing is, with that whole story is, we are all there together, and we look out for each other, and we, you know, we support each other, and it is a family, and it's something that you can never change. The videos, the pictures, everything you see is real, and the relationships that we have, we share experiences and you know, jokes between us that no one else will ever experience. But if you go on a trip, you'll experience that camaraderie and that closeness with those church members in your church, and be able to share. So as everyone else has said, if you've got the opportunity, you need to take advantage of it, and you need to go. Pray, ask God for his will. There's plenty of trips. I know in the summer they're already planning on possibly one or two trips. I know they're looking at going back to Brazil. If you have any questions or any reserve about a trip, please talk to one of these members, because they will be upfront and honest with you. And, you know, some of the things may seem scary, but we've all lived through it, and we've laughed about it, and we plan on going again. So thank you.
Hi, my name's Christine, for everybody who doesn't know me. And I know everybody has talked about going on a mission trip, and if you get the opportunity to go. And I wanted to touch on that a little bit more, because 9 months ago today, I was saved in this very church. It was only a few...
Thank you. It was only a few weeks after that that the opportunity for the Brazil mission trip came up. I told my husband I wanted to go into the meeting to learn a little bit more about the trip, and he kind of just looked at me like, really? And I'm like, yeah, you know what, I'm curious. So we went into the meeting, and I was like, I was like, I'm going. And he's like, we can't afford it. And I was like, I know we can't. I was like, but you know what? I want to go. Something is telling me to go on this trip. So I put down my deposit, and I prayed, and I asked God if this was what he wanted me to do, he needed to make a way for me to be able to go. It was, I think, a few months later, I get a call from Pastor David that all my funds were paid. I have no idea who paid for them. I don't know where the money came from. I just know that I asked God to put me on this trip, and he did. So the other problem I was having was my internal battle of, one, leaving my husband and my 4-year-old son, because I've never left them for longer than a night. So I was a little nervous about that, but also about what I was going to be able to share on this trip. Only being recently saved, what was I going to be able to share? What was I going to be able to do on this trip to help spread the gospel? I barely knew it myself, but I went. On this trip, I have grown so much. I've seen so much happen that I would never be able to see just being here in the States. Still touching base, like touching down in Brazil, I was a little nervous about still what was going to be my role in this. What was I going to do? Like they said, we had to be flexible. Our schedule changed every single day. It was, okay, we're going to get up at this time. Nope, okay, we're going to go get up at this time. We're going to do this. Nope, we're going to do this. So the whole time I was nervous. All I knew was at the Sunday afternoon meeting with the ladies' event, I had to give my testimony, which right there scared me. I've never given my testimony to anybody, and now I have shared it in front of 50 other women. We as a group have shared so much. We have learned so much about each other. We've cried together. We've laughed together. We've made unbreakable friendships that just being here, we wouldn't have made. On Friday, we had the opening of the new church in Tupanatinga. So before that, we went to our very last school, and it rained. And when they say it's winter over there, they don't get snow, they get rain. So it rained a majority of our trip. So we were really nervous about the event because it was an outdoor event for this church in the town square. So we all prayed that the rain would stop and that we would be able to share with everybody in the city the opening of the new church. Well, as we're finishing up, we finish up our songs, we're packing up, we all get out of the school, and we start walking away, and we all look. There's a full rainbow right over the church, and the rain just stopped. So for us to be able to see that, knowing that God wanted us to be able to go into the town square and be able to share with everybody in that town the opening of the new church, and for them to be able to hear and us to share the gospel, was just an amazing experience. Somebody else touched upon, also at that event, that there was a lot of shops around the town square where we were, and there was people playing music that was super loud, and you could barely hear other people. And then all of a sudden, me and Pastor David were talking, and he's like, this is Satan working against us. The music is playing so loud that you can't hear anybody talk at all. And we're like, you know what? God's going to have this in his hands. It's going to work out. And the music just stopped. And then as Chris and Nick are playing, and Kelly shared her testimony, and everybody's out there, I just looked around, and there is a gym in the corner. The people have stopped. They stopped working out. They opened up the windows, and they're listening to everybody share. There's people in the bar that are just stopping, and they're standing on the street now listening. We had police officers stop and listen. It was just amazing to see everybody in this city just come out to hear what God had to say. And it was the most amazing experience. I can't wait to go on another trip. Me and my husband are fighting over who gets to go on the next one. I keep telling him that I'm going to be selfish and I'm going to go again. And when our son's old enough, he can come with both of us. But we'll see what happens. But honestly, if you get the opportunity go. It doesn't matter if you've been saved weeks, months, years. If God is calling you to go onto the mission field, do it, because it's something that you're never going to experience here, and it's just, it helps you grow in your faith no matter how long you've been saved. I came back a different person, and I hope that everybody else gets to experience this at some point.
Thank you so much, team. You may be seated. And appreciate so much the words, and everybody had something to share that spoke to each of us, and hope you were touched. And there's not really much more that I could add to it, but there's something the Lord did impress upon me as we close. I promise I'll let you go here after this thought. If you just turn to Romans chapter 12 real quick, Romans chapter 12, a very familiar passage, something that we all should know and do know if you've been in church for a little while. But Paul tells us in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this passage has been taught on many times, and read and used to encourage people. And most of the time, the takeaway from these two verses is, well, what are the worldly things that I can cut out of my life so that I can be more conformed to the will of God and be in His perfect will? What are some things in my life that I need to sacrifice and give up so that I can be in God's perfect plan? Maybe it's sacrificing time and money so I can go on a missions trip. Maybe it's giving up watching too much TV and start reading my Bible more. Maybe it's giving up some of these, working so much. Maybe it's giving up some of the pleasures of this life that distract me from what I'm supposed to be doing. But really, there's so much more to this passage than just that. And that is a valid takeaway. But really, this passage is a setup for the rest of the whole chapter. It's really saying that, hey, we need to sacrifice the world's concept of selfishness and self-serving, because I want you to look down to verse number 10 with me just real quick, and I'm going to actually change versions here because I like the way it says it here in verse number 10. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. And this whole passage is talking about how we're supposed to love each other and serve one another. It's really about disconnecting. It's about presenting our bodies as a sacrifice so that we can serve someone else. Disconnecting this idea of selfishness and self-serving so that we can reach other people. And it goes on to say that God has gifted each of us differently. As you heard these people give their testimony, it's pretty obvious that God has gifted them many different ways. And by the way, y'all did an excellent job just speaking and sharing your story, and I'm so proud of y'all. I know that sounds condescending, but I'm just head over heels because God has obviously worked in each of your lives. But God has given them all different gifts. Some of them, like you said, can sing, some can't, but some can do other things and teach and so forth. But God used each and every person on that team to minister. And the same is true in our church. Everyone is gifted in different ways. And, you know, when you think about, hey, I can't really ever do something like that. And maybe God will never call you to go to a mission trip. Maybe you're supposed to be here to pray and give and serve in other ways. But the takeaway here is that, hey, what can I do to disconnect my mind from the way the world works so that I can start serving and living for other people, whether it's in Brazil or here at Calvary or across the street? It's about giving our bodies a sacrifice, sacrificing ourselves so that we can be part of something bigger, the body of Christ and what the Lord is doing. And I love what Kim said about not seeing big Jesus, but seeing Jesus in a big way. And it's obvious that that certainly took place. So I hope that you are encouraged today by that passage and by what each of them said. God used their words and their testimony to speak to me, and I hope He did the same for you.